Welcome. Are we ready to go? Hope everybody's got their Christmas shopping done. And so we'll, not yet, huh? We'll start the meeting and go ahead and call the meeting to order. And will you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Ashajian. Commissioner Burke. Commissioner Waso. Commissioner Neely. Commissioner Potter?
Here.
Commissioner Riley?
Here.
Commissioner Schallenberger?
Here.
Commissioner Wan? Chairman Kruer?
Here.
Commissioner Borgard, I'm sorry.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Okay, very good. Thank you. With this, we'll go to staff and to announce any changes to the agenda and procedures for today's hearing. And don't forget, we're going to take up statewide first on the agenda today. We trailed that from Wednesday to Thursday till this morning because of our late meetings the last couple of days. So, Mr. Merrill?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In addition to taking up statewide first, there are some other changes. On page 16 of the agenda, item 3B, which is the consistency determination 43-07 of the Corps of Engineers for the San Diego County project, has been postponed. Also on page 16, item 3C, which is consistency certification 61-07, Peter Dupuy and Ocean Pacific Seafood, that consistency certification has been withdrawn. And then moving to page 17, item 7B, appeal A1-MEN-07-44, the Arena Union Elementary School District, that's been postponed. And then finally on page 18, item 8A, which is the permit amendment for Elk Home LLC, that's been moved to consent. And I would just like to remind the public that if there's anyone here who would like to address the commission on any of the items and you haven't already done so, please fill out a speaker slip that's available on the table at the entry to the hall and give them to a staff member. There are also materials out on the front table that for addendum items today that you can have. And then lastly, I'd just like to remind everyone to please turn off your cell phones. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Actually, lastly is because we're in this special building, there are special rules, so I'd remind folks in the audience there's no food or coffee allowed in the facility, and please pick up any papers that you bring in and take them back with you. What you pack in, pack out. With that, Mr. Chairman, we're to statewide, and we have no minutes to approve, which brings us to commissioners' reports. It's from the first day, item 25. Are there any commissioners' reports?
Are there any commissioner reports? I think we, no.
Conservancy report?
Was no.
Something? Santa Monica Mountains Conservancy? Deputy Attorney General's report?
We have three items to report.
Would you speak into your mic, please?
Speak into the microphone.
Can you hear me? Is it on? Okay. Good morning, Commissioners. We have three items to report for the Deputy Attorney General report. First of all, in Tomales Bay Association versus County of Marin, the Court of Appeal affirmed the trial court's judgment in favor of the county and the commission. The commission was found to have properly issued permits to Weber for restoration in wetlands, pursuant to Weber's settlement with the Army Corps of Engineers. In the case of Madeline Witter versus California Coastal Commission, the trial court denied the petition for a mandate where Witter had challenged the commission's after-the-fact denial of a permit and lot line adjustment. And finally, in the case of Yamagiwa versus City of Half Moon Bay, though this is not a commission case, the commissioners may have heard that the city lost a takings case. It was not a regulatory taking, but instead it was an actual physical invasion case where the city constructed project caused flooding, creating wetlands and impacting the development possibilities of the site. If the city does appeal this decision, we'll discuss in closed session the commission's options at a later date. And that concludes our report. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, on that last matter, what is it, Yamagiwa? I think, as Dan pointed out, it is a not an inverse takings case like we normally know about the regulatory takings law, but actual physical invasion. So that's one reason why it's really different from the kind that we normally bring to your attention with great concern. This is a little unique. Still problematic, but not the kind that we normally see.
Could have implications. But yes, Commissioner Warren?
But it could have implications for us.
Oh, yes, it could. But again, it's a physical taking case, and we don't know whether they're going to appeal or not, but we'll keep you informed on that.
Okay.
Chief Counsel?
Chief Counsel's report. Ms. Schmelzer?
Thank you. I've handed out to all of the commissioners here a memo on the recent Coastal Act amendment, which prohibits gifts totaling more than $10 in a calendar month. This memo can also be found on the commission's website. The quick summary is that any gift conferring a personal benefit onto a commissioner may not be accepted if it totals more than $10 in a calendar month from any interested persons. I'd be happy to answer any questions that any commissioners might have about that. Please feel free to review that.
I have a question.
Commissioner Burke.
If you get a ride from the hotel here and the cab fare would be $11, and somebody gives you, some other person gives you a ride here, the value of that transportation exceeds what the value for the month you so. What are you supposed to do, get out two blocks from here and walk over? How do you calculate? How do you keep track?
Depends on who you're driving with. No.
If I'm with Vanessa, I'm staying in the car and taking the heat. If I'm with you, I'm getting out halfway here.
Commissioner? Oh. Commissioner? The executive director is correct that it does depend, on, of course, on who you're riding with. However, the statute does specifically include transportation. Sorry?
When you say it depends on if you're a consultant, if they're a consultant.
If it's an interested person.
What happens if they're a consultant and you don't, or they have something up and you don't know it? You don't know it.
You don't, I'm sorry.
If you're in the car, somebody says, hi, Commissioner Juan, would you like a ride? You say yes, and you get halfway there. And somebody says, I have a matter up Thursday.
You may reimburse them for the ride, or you can disclose it. I mean, you need to use common sense. This is a,
right.
Within reason, of course, we can't answer every eventuality here. However, transportation is included in the statute as part of the definition of a gift.
By the way, this applies to staff as well, so we can't take a ride with them either.
That's why you're walking all the time.
I did.
Okay. Okay, any questions of other, Commissioner Kajian?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. How about like the coffee mugs we received the first day we arrived? Are those within $10 that we need to report, or every time somebody gives us something, we'll say how much is it?
The coffee mugs were not from an interested person.
And how would we know that?
They came from staff.
Oh, okay. Thank you, staff.
You mean you're not interested in us?
No. not under the statute.
Anyone else? Any other questions on that? Okay, if not, then Mr. Douglas, your executive director's report.
Well, I've made reports in the course of this meeting along with the district director's report, so I really don't have anything to add except that we did hand out the survey in terms of how you would like to receive the packets, and if you haven't filled those out, please do, because we're trying to meet your needs, whether or not you want the packets in disc form, grant, parcel. We can't customize it for each commissioner, but if you tell us how you would prefer to receive your monthly packet, we will do our best to accommodate your request. So that's all I've got. One other thing, you did get the notice about the ethics training that's required yearly, and there is a deadline for completing that by the end of the month. But if you don't do it, you won't go to jail. Please do it.
Okay.
Okay, that's it.
Okay.
The legislative report, if there are any questions about that, and we already had the public education report, could then bring us to the agenda for today.
Okay.
Mr. Delaplane.
Federal Consistence Energy.
Morning, Commissioners. Our first item is a non-voting item.
Mr. Chairman, before we go to the first item, may I please give a Budget Committee report?
But yes, you may. I didn't hear what you asked. I'm sorry, Commissioner.
I was just asked by the Chairman of the Budget Committee to speak for
Yes,
and let the Commission know that we are in the process of meeting. We have met. We have gone through a number of items with both Peter and Susan on the budget. We do have a real problem, but not an insurmountable problem. It's going to take the cooperation of every single person on the commission as well as staff to overcome this thing. But I think that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. I just hope it's not a train coming the other way. We're working on it, and we're going to try and get it solved, and we'll continue to report to you on a monthly basis.
And if I may, Mr. Chairman, express my appreciation to both Commissioner Schallenberger and Commissioner Burke for bearing with us as we're going through the tedious process of explaining the state budgeting process and then the assistance we're getting and the ideas we're getting. I'm afraid that your wish, Commissioner Burke, about the light at the end of the tunnel not being a train coming, I think it is. When you read the paper and look at the state deficit and what it appears may happen statewide, I think for next year it is a train coming through the tunnel at us. This year's deficit, I agree with you, I think we're going to be able to through a lot of very tough decisions come in under budget, but next year that's a whole new day, and I'm very concerned about what the implications are for the program.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Do we have any information on whether there's going to be a special session looking at mid-year cuts for this fiscal year?
No, I have not heard anything like that.
All right.
There was a special session, but it was called on health care. It was called yesterday.
Yeah, there may be one. I just haven't heard about it, but you'll read about it in the paper as soon as we hear about it.
Mr. Schallenberg?
I don't think there is a special session. I think that the governor has asked the Department of Finance to come up with a 10% cut across the board in all agencies, and that for this fiscal year, the budget is now up, the deficit's up to $14 billion and something, $15 billion, which is a 50% increase from what the legislative analyst said it was just 2 months ago. So I think it will be done administratively without the benefit of public hearings and the legislature being involved for this year. You all read the same papers I do, is that the governor is saying that increase in revenues taxes is off the table for next year. So I think we have everybody knows there's a structural a deficit, and it has not, it isn't being addressed, or at least it isn't being addressed in a way that will solve it.
Thank you, Commissioner Schallenberg. Any other commissioners on the budget before we not? We'll go to Mark Delaplane.
Thank you, Chairman Coor. We present the monthly negative determinations memo in case there are any comments from commissioners on these items. It does not require a vote.
No. No comments? Or?
Okay, then Cassidy Teufel will present our first and only consistency item of the day.
Good morning, Chairman Coor and commissioners. This consistency determination is for 4 years of annual maintenance dredging of the Humboldt Bay navigation channels by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. The project represents the latest in a series of consistency determinations concurred with by the Commission that have allowed the Corps to conduct dredging of these channels since 1985. Commission staff recommends that the Commission concur with this consistency determination. I'd also like to note that an addendum with minor clarifications to the staff report has been provided to you. Generally, the dredging of these channels lasts for approximately 30 days during the mid-March through mid-May, 8-week spring maintenance dredging episode. If necessary, additional fall dredging of the bar and entrance channel is conducted during the July through September fall dredging timeframe and persists for an additional 30 days. The Corps is proposing to remove between 1.4 and 2.9 million cubic yards of predominantly sandy sediment during these dredging episodes. Consistent with their practices since 1990, the Corps is proposing to dispose of this material at the Humboldt Open Ocean Disposal Site, a 1-square-mile site located 3 miles from shore in depths of between 160 and 180 feet. Due to the large volume of material that must be annually dredged from the Humboldt navigation channels to achieve their required depths, as well as the disposal location in offshore waters outside of the nearshore sand supply cell, since 1990, the Commission has required the Corps to conduct shoreline monitoring every 2 to 3 years. This monitoring effort is intended to provide an early indication of shoreline erosion and loss of beach sand so that corrective measures may be initiated before extensive erosion occurs. The Corps has committed to continue this monitoring program by conducting the next scheduled aerial survey in 2008. In addition, although analysis of shoreline monitoring data collected over the past 17 years has not conclusively demonstrated that high levels of erosion are occurring outside of Humboldt Bay as a result of the Corps' offshore disposal practices, recent surveys have indicated that erosion is occurring along the North Spit beaches. While Commission staff, the Corps, and EPA all agree that the amount of recorded erosion is currently not substantial enough to warrant a discontinuation of the use of the Humboldt Open Ocean Disposal Site, as a precautionary measure, the Corps has been working with Commission staff and EPA to develop a nearshore disposal demonstration project that could commence in 2009. The goal of this project is to determine the feasibility of depositing clean, sandy, dredged material within the nearshore sand supply cell, where it may be able to naturally accumulate on North Spit beaches that are currently experiencing erosion. The development of this demonstration project will continue to include input from Commission staff and will also collaborate with the Humboldt Bay Ecosystem Project and the Humboldt Bay Conservation Recreation District to enable community members and stakeholders to express and identify issues and concerns. The local community will also be provided with an additional forum to have their potential concerns voiced and addressed through the Corps' commitment to develop a dredge materials management plan for Humboldt Bay that will include open meetings and discussions with representatives from relevant agencies, stakeholders, and community members. It should also be noted that prior to initiation of this demonstration project and the use of any disposal site other than the Humboldt Open Ocean Disposal Site, the Corps would be required to submit a proposal for the review and approval of all relevant agencies, including this commission. Due to the Corps' commitment to continue the shoreline monitoring program, develop a nearshore disposal demonstration project and dredge materials management plan, continue annual reporting and testing of navigation channel sediments, and the lack of adverse impacts associated with the historic use of the Humboldt Open Ocean Disposal Site, Commission staff concludes that the proposed 4-year maintenance dredging program constitutes an allowable use, is the least damaging feasible alternative, and includes adequate monitoring and commitments to avoid or mitigate impacts. Therefore, Commission staff recommends that the Commission concur with consistency determination number CD-01706. The motion for this item can be found on page 5 of the staff report, and I'd also like to note that members of the Army Corps of Engineers are here today to answer your questions if you have any.
Okay. Are there any ex-parties starting on my left? No ex-parties? Okay, and again, and just for the record, I just want to make sure Cynthia Fowler and Peter Mall and Craig Connor, you're here to
Yes, Commissioner.
For
yes,
questions?
Excuse me?
Are you here for questions or you wish to speak?
Yes, sir. We are here to answer and address any questions you may have.
Thank you, sir. Okay. Vice Chair Neely?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Commission concur with consistency determination CD-017-06 that the project described therein is fully consistent and thus is consistent to the maximum extent practicable with the enforceable policies of the California Coastal Management Program and recommend a yes vote.
Second.
Been moved by Vice Chair Neely, seconded by Commissioner Riley. Both the maker and seconder are asking for a yes vote. Passage of this motion will result in the concurrence with the determination and adoption of the resolutions and findings as contained in the staff report. Would you like to speak to your motion, Vice Chair Neely? Commissioner Riley? Is anyone else? Is there any objection to a unanimous yes roll call vote on this? Hearing none, the Commission unanimously hereby concurs with the consistency determination by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Okay. We'll go to the North Coast. Deputy Director's report.
Thank you, Mr.
Ms.
Chairman.
Merrill.
Thank you.
Put your microphone.
Thank you. Hopefully that'll work. Just want to point out there's a number of handouts that we've distributed to you yesterday as well as today for the North Coast portion of the agenda. There's a green addendum with sets of letters on the staff briefing on the Wallala fireworks display. Also letters on the Fort Bragg LCP amendment that will be considered. And then on one of the, there's four letters concerning the McConnell appeal. There's also an individual item addendum for the Fort Bragg LCP amendment that we'll be referring to. And then I just want to point out that for that Fort Bragg LCP amendment, you have on the tables in front of you several copies of the exhibits to that staff report. In the end, we sent the exhibits in the form of a CD to all of you, but we provided the hard copies here today. You may need to share them as there's, I believe, two copies of the exhibits per table. The exhibits were quite extensive, over 1,000 pages, and to save money, that's why we did it that way. I note that there we do not have any permit waivers, immaterial amendments, time extensions, and so there's no pink addendum and no need for to ask your concurrence on those items. And so that brings us to item 4A, which is the staff briefing on the impacts of the July 2007 Wallala fireworks display. And you may recall that at the June Commission meeting of this year in Santa Rosa, you received a significant amount of testimony during the public comment period about a scheduled fireworks display proposed by the Wallala Fireworks Committee over the July 4th weekend in the community of Wallala on the southern Mendocino coast. The display was to be conducted from an area adjacent to a public access easement held by the Redwood Coast Land Conservancy on the bluff top above the Wallala River in the business district of the town. The fireworks were to be detonated over the Wallala River estuary close to the mouth of the river. And there was considerable concern about the fireworks display expressed by many members of the public. Thank you. And the potential for the display to disturb nesting cormorants and other seabirds on the offshore rocks, reefs, and islands that form part of the California Coastal National Monument administered by the Bureau of Land Management. The BLM was also concerned about the impacts and had developed a monitoring protocol for monitoring the effects on the birds. And BLM intended to implement the monitoring before, during, and after the fireworks display, relying in large part on the efforts of volunteer stewards of the National Monument. The commission on June 13th of 2007 had contacted the Wallala Fireworks Committee and informed the committee that the fireworks display constituted development requiring a coastal permit. In addition, the commission staff sent a second letter indicating that if the fireworks committee chose to go forward with the event without the necessary coastal permit, they would proceed at the risk of additional enforcement action by the commission. Notwithstanding the staff's letters, the committee did go forward with a fireworks display on July 6th. The BLM did implement the monitoring program and in mid-October released a preliminary report presenting the results of the monitoring. The BLM also briefed agency staff, including our staff, in early November. And as this is the first Northern California Commission meeting since release of the report, we felt it would be useful to brief you on what we learned from the preliminary report and to inform you of the results and propose a course of action. We understand that the Fireworks Committee intends to conduct a similar display in 2008. The BLM report is only a preliminary report. They still have yet to finalize it, but they have released it. The report indicates that the monitoring was designed to monitor the effects of six species of nesting shorebirds. The principal results are that the species that was most affected appears to be Brandt's cormorants. The study found that 10 nests, which represent about 11% of those on Wallala Point Island, which is one of the major nesting areas in that vicinity, that 10 of those nests were abandoned during and just after the firework display. The eggs and nest materials of abandoned nests disappeared quickly after abandonment, presumably as a result of predators. Although the monitoring report has not been released as a final report, the Commission staff believes the preliminary report indicates a strong correlation between the noise of the firework display and the abandonment of the nests of migratory seabirds, and that the display as conducted raises serious concerns about consistency with the environmentally sensitive habitat protection policies of the Coastal Act. And so with the Commission's concurrence, staff would intend to send a letter to the Wallala Fireworks Committee in the near future before the committee makes detailed plans and incurs significant expenses for a proposed 2008 display, reiterating our position that the fireworks are a form of development requiring a permit. And the letter would also indicate that staff would not support an application to conduct the display in the same manner as the fireworks were displayed or detonated last year, but that we would like to work with the committee on alternatives, perhaps alternatives such as postponing the fireworks display until after the bird nesting season, substituting a laser light show for the fireworks display, changing the location of the display, or providing for an Independence Day celebration with a public event that doesn't involve a fireworks display that could harm nesting seabirds. Our letter would ask for a response by a certain date, and in the event that the committee does not provide a substantive response to that letter, we then would consider enforcement options for the commission. We understand that there are a number of people who would like to address the commission on this matter, Mr. Chairman, and we'd be happy to address any questions you have either before or after the public testimony. Then that concludes my remarks.
Thank you very much. I think we'll take the public testimony, and I want to thank some of the people for organizing and yielding their time so that we could go through this report and hear from everybody, and we appreciate that time you've yielded. We'll first start off with Sid Waterman. 3 minutes. And then Judy Waterman and Marsha Sagan. Marshall. 3 minutes each.
Good morning. My name is Sid Waterman. I've been living in Gualala for 27 years. The first 3 years I lived in Sea Ranch. In 2005, though, a group of business people felt to create an additional influx of people coming into our quaint little town of Wallala would need some much-needed income and boost in the economy. It's been very interesting to note that the opposition has been very, very strong, very vocal in the fact that that this fireworks display is disturbing the birds. Well, the facts are, and I believe there's a chart that should be showing up on the screen, the facts are, In the year 1980, 81, 82, the Bain Bill was brought into play. You folks are obviously very, very familiar with the Bain Bill. If you will take a look at the chart whenever it does come up on the screen, you will see the decline number of the cormorants and other birds is a very drastic decline from 1982 to the year 2005. This dramatic drop in bird count is exactly the opposite as the count going the other direction in the homes being constructed. When you allowed the Bain Bill, you allowed these people to build their homes on the very bluffs that these birds live on. One of these individuals who's ramrodding this particular situation built his home within 800 feet, maybe 1,000 feet of the island, within talking distance certainly. 2 years of backhoes and everything else that goes along with construction, heavy equipment, nail guns, and all the rest. This is, you're pointing fingers at something as small as a 15-minute fireworks display twice a year when the damage mostly had already been done by the very people that are claiming that we're causing a problem. The one person who in particular building this home, now surrounded with four other homes on either side of him, is in my opinion one of the most guilty of all the parties, and yet he claims that he is the person that is the most in support of the of eliminating the fireworks shows. We've had these fireworks shows up and down the coast of California. I don't understand why you're picking on our little town. They say that we shot the fireworks at the island. Absolutely false. The island is 1.2 miles south of Wallala. We shot the fireworks in a northerly direction. Not one time did one single shell misfire or did any of it get onto Sonoma County property. In fact, we met with Sonoma County supervisors about 3 years ago asking permission to shoot the fireworks off of the sandbar. The chart is on the screen now. If you will see the direct, it's almost like an X. The buildup of the homes versus the decline of the birds. I'd like to take my wife's 3 minutes, if that's possible.
What?
She was the next to speak.
We said earlier to the other group we weren't pooling time. If she wants to speak...
Well, then that means the opposition can't pool time either?
No, they're not. They're yielding time. There's 15 speaker slips, and they're only having 15 minutes. So
okay, concludes my...
Okay. Thank you, sir. But Mrs. Waterman, if you want to, you filled out a sub. If you want to come up and say something, we'd love to hear from you. Okay. Marshall Sega.
Hi, I'm Marshall Sega from Guala. This is Tidbit. First, I'd like to make a comment. Driving down here last night about 11 o'clock at night, I'm watching shooting stars, the ocean, the moon, and thinking the whole way about how the California Coastal Commission has provided the stewardship for that beautiful drive. So I want to thank all of the commissioners and the staff for the work that you do protecting the coast. I know this is the last day, so I'm going to keep my comments very short. This is yesterday's Independent Coast Observer, and in it, quote, the study is yet to be finalized, but discrepancies and inconsistencies have caused a delay in the release of the study officially. Commissioners, please wait for the final study and wait for the input. What you see today, please temper it with the knowledge that it's the report that's currently out there is filled full of flaws, errors, miscalculations, misadditions, missubtractions, mileage is wrong. There's a lot of things that are wrong, about 80 items that we've identified. The Rich Burns, the BLM director, also confirmed that discrepancies in the number of cormorants to flee nests have arisen. The original number of 10 that was just quoted is now at 7 and possibly less. So we may be right back where we were. Lastly, we met on the 21st with Jim Wiegand, the state ecologist in charge of this study, with BLM, with the stewards. I'm just going to read you several quotes, and then I'll leave you and wish you a Merry Christmas. They, the Sea Ranch, wrote the protocol, unquote. This wasn't a BLM protocol. The Sea Ranch wrote up what they wanted to see. Quote, this was a real low-budget effort, unquote. Quote, its nest loss is not attributable just to fireworks or even to fireworks, unquote. We saw nest loss that I would be very careful about ever attributing to fireworks, unquote, from Jim Wiegand, the BLM California State Office ecologist. Quote, we were not able to detect an impact on harbor seals, unquote. Quote, something else could have happened to cause the nest loss, unquote. We don't have answers to what we saw, unquote. Quote, the nest loss, is more complex than just saying it's fireworks. There's a lot more study that's got to be done. This isn't it. This isn't the right study. If there were birds dying or damages going on, I'd be the first one to stop it. But this study doesn't prove that, doesn't show it, and doesn't indicate it. Thank you very much. Have a Merry Christmas.
Same to you, and thank you for coming today. And say goodbye to Tidbit there. Julie Varan. Three minutes.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Director Douglas, and members of the commission and staff. I'm Julie Varan. My family has lived on the bluffs in downtown Wallala since 1972, and I believe that my home, which I now own, free and clear, is threatened by these fireworks displays because they are shooting them towards the north, towards the houses that are part of the special community under the Mendocino County LCP and the Coastal Act. And because some of the sparks from the 2007 display actually landed on roofs or driveways nearby, and fireworks have caused houses to burn down in Santa Rosa, although those were private, but these are in a way private also. But also I wanted to, I passed out a copy of this article through staff in Science News, August 25th, 2007, volume 172. There's been actual lab research now on the effect of noise on pair bonding in birds, and it finds that noise really can break the pair bond. And there's other experimental work that was reported in this journal in 2003 that birds can change their song frequencies as a result of noise. And in the Netherlands, further research is being studied on actual birds. So this particular study, although it's not finished, is very important. But the important thing to make it scientifically valid is it needs a control. In other words, the monitoring needs to be repeated over the next holiday with no fireworks. I hope that you will issue a cease and desist order to allow that to happen. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Jerry McChesney from U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Sure, that's fine. Okay, and then people from the Sea Ranch. I have one, two, three. Four, five. Mr. Fox, would you come up? I have about six speaker slips for the 15 minutes, and we will stop the clock each time one of you, you just stop. But remember, you have 15 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman and Commissioners, my name is John Fox. I have the privilege to be the Sea Ranch's community manager, and I'm here to provide some important background information. In 2005, the Sea Ranch, a community of 1,200 full-time inhabitants, was approached by the Bureau of Land Management to consider becoming a steward of the CCNM adjacent to the Sea Ranch. The Sea Ranch Board unanimously approved this stewardship in December 2005, and it was signed by Mike Poole, State Director of BLM, and myself. This was well before the 2006 fireworks issues arose. Stewardship responsibilities are to monitor and oversee by taking watchful care the Sea Ranch CCNM. They're also to develop community involvement in these tasks and to alert BLM to known and potential problems. I created a Sea Ranch task force of 20 volunteers to carry out these duties. Subsequently, task force members reported observing adverse effects of the Festivals Committee 2006 fireworks on nesting seabirds. In April 2007, the Sea Ranch Board directed me to seek ways to protect CCNM wildlife from the adverse effects of fireworks, such as those which occurred in 2006. I tried friendly appeals to the Festivals Committee to exercise good judgment, appeals to elected representatives and state agencies, including this body. I spoke along with many others at the Santa Rosa Coastal Commission meeting in June 2007. The Commission responded positively to our concerns, but fireworks occurred anyway on July the 6th, 2007. Knowing that fireworks were a possibility in 2007, the CCNM asked us, as stewards, to participate in a before and after monitoring study directed and led by BLM scientists. Our task force, many of whose members are scientifically educated in diverse fields, was trained in the procedures and protocols applicable to collecting data on nesting seabirds. The following presentation describes the results, which will later appear in scientific literature as peer-reviewed science. The work documents that the 2007 fireworks impacted nesting seabirds and as a consequence decreased their progeny. It just happens that the timing of Independence Day and seabird nesting are coincident. We seek the Commission's help towards preventing a recurrence of this adverse event timing and resulting damage because it is environmentally unsound. Anyone who has seen the lifeless contents of an abandoned bird's nest and who values the lives and well-being of all creatures will want to join all North Coast community in protecting them. Bryant and Diane Hishwa will now present the results and evaluation of that study. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Fox.
My name is Bryant Hishwa. I'm a professor at Sonoma State University, a past president of Madrone Audubon in Sonoma County, and currently the president of the board of Audubon Canyon Ranch. The study participants that we're going to discuss today was the Bureau of Land Management and the Sea Ranch Task Force, with assistance from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, as well as PRBO. A little bit of background for you. Walla Point Island is in Sonoma County, about 100 yards off the coast. And the city of Walla, or the Walla town, is in Mendocino. It's an unincorporated area of Mendocino County. The Walla River estuary is a quiet and peaceful area with little commercial development. As you can see on the screen here, the Walla is where the star is. This is where the fireworks were fired off from. And Walla Point Island is here, 1.1 miles over here, and this is Walla. The green over here is Walla Point Regional Park in Sonoma County. A little bit of background and scientific justification. The Festivals Committee, as you've heard already, has had fireworks in the summer of 2006 and 2007. The Festival Committee is a self-appointed, unelected group of commercial property owners. After the during the 2006 fireworks, a number of people observed a disturbance of the birds, and that led to the 2007 study that I'm reporting on. It went away. Okay. The purpose was to gain scientific knowledge, the monitoring study. We wanted to determine an immediate real-time responses to the fireworks disturbance, as well as long-term effect on nesting seabirds, especially their reproductive successes. The monitoring period for the aerial photography that we did went from 30 May through 30 August. And then there was an intensive land-based monitoring period 6 days before and 6 days after the fireworks. The fireworks occurred on the night of July 6th. A number of innovative techniques were used during the fireworks, which included infrared and digiscoping photography in order to take pictures after dark. The study was initiated, the design was initiated by BLM. It followed the protocols of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, as well as Point Reyes Bird Observatory. It was modified by the participants to include the digiscoping, the aerial photography, and the other night monitoring things that we did. The study was conducted by the BLM, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, as well as the volunteers. The volunteers included people from Wallala, Point Arena, as well as the Sea Ranch. In addition, a number of bird experts were brought in from Mendocino Coast Audubon and Madrone Audubon in Sonoma County to participate in the process. The data analysis was done by the BLM and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Why is Gualla Island so important? What is it? Why is it so unique? It is a nesting site for Brandt's cormorants, and Brandt's cormorants require an island of a certain size and a certain structure, and there are only three nesting sites in a 50-mile distance from Jenner up to Point Arena. There's nesting sites, as you can see, of four other species of birds. In addition, it's a major resting site for brown pelicans, which are endangered. And all of these species are protected under the Federal Migratory Bird Act. Let's take a look at what the situation is. Here is Gualla Point Island. Whoops. Over here, we're looking east. The two monitoring points, GPI North and GPI South, were the two visual monitoring points during the daytime as well as the nighttime monitoring. This is Gualla Point Island looking to the northeast. This is the land side. This is the ocean side. And this region over here that's colored in pinkish color is where the nesting western gulls are. Here, this region over here on the ocean side is where the resting California brown pelicans are. And this region over here is where the nesting Brandt's cormorants are. If we were to zoom in and look at that area, this is an aerial photograph. All the aerial photography was done with the protocol designed by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And during the aerial photography, we observed no disturbance of the birds, either from the air or from the land-based monitoring. You can see very clearly all of the different nests. Was done then on the days that we did the aerial photography, that is on May 30th, during just before and just after, several times after, and then on August 30th, all of the nests were numbered and then counted, and observations with regard to nest abandonment was done. Real-time digiscoping sequence, which you'll see a couple pictures of here, were as follows. Pictures were taken every 30 seconds. Exposure times were 15 to 30 seconds.
Sir, I just wanted to ask, how many more speakers do you have? Because we're just giving you, you have 5 minutes left.
For everybody.
Okay, I will keep going and finish up very quickly here.
How many speakers are left?
Three.
Okay. Go ahead.
So here is the nighttime photography. This is taken at 21:32, several minutes before the fireworks started. You can see all the birds are all hunkered down over here and resting. This is the beginning of the firework sequence at 21:35. The birds have come to alert and standing over here. The next minute, the birds have stood up, and you see a whole bunch of other birds that were over here.
Everyone take their time.
Over here on the left-hand side, and now and a minute later, all the birds on the left-hand side have flown off, and the birds are continue to be at alert. The last slide I have is showing the night visual photography, and the important thing to note here is the density. After the fireworks, it's much less. And also, there is a nesting cormorant over here. And if you look directly down over here, this is an abandoned nest. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I'm Diane Hitchwa, and really just wanted to add to that that the analysis, again, the conclusions of the study by the BLM and Fish and Wildlife are that the Brandt's cormorants were most affected. They are a colonial nesting seabird and consequently have different breeding habits than many of the other birds we're familiar with. The scientific analysis has been based primarily on the aerial photos. During the study period, other disturbance besides fireworks was found to be minimal, and we certainly refer you to the BLM website for information. We also indicate there have been many letters submitted from the Audubon societies in your packet, and the task force is asking that you require CEQA for any CDP applications in the Walala River estuary during the seabird breeding season, that you not issue a coastal development permit for such, and be prepared to issue and enforce cease and desist. And we all locally would like to find and promote solutions for the holiday that sustain the coastal wildlife. I yield to Rich Keene.
My name is Rich Keene, and I'm here not as a co-chair of the task force, but as a member of the Conservation Committee for Mendocino Coast Audubon Society, whose house is right near the island. My house, by the way, was built during the daytime and not at night, and didn't involve bright lights or dynamite or any loud noises. While I'm not a wildlife biologist, I am a reproductive scientist of sorts, as I'm a retired OBGYN. And I would caution you that to make any assumption from the graph that was displayed to you earlier by Mr. Waterman, you would need to look at another 12-mile stretch of the coast and see what happened to the population of seabirds during the same time period. I think that Mr. McChesney will be able to confirm that seabirds are struggling. Seabirds' populations have dropped all along our California coast. That's why I would like not to add additional insult to these birds. Lastly, I draw your attention to the PRBO letter that did not make your packet that I distributed. I believe most of you are aware that PRBO is known for their award-winning bird ecology research. They supported this study, and they confirmed the BLM and U.S. Fish and Wildlife's initial study results. Please remember, birds are excellent indicators of environmental health, and for all of us, it's about the birds.
Hello, my name is Jeannie Jackson. I'm a resident of Walala. Last year, when the first ever fireworks were set off, we didn't need a bird study. We knew that there was damage to the nesting seabirds. Letters to the editors and phone calls were made asking for dialogue with the festivals committee. I, along with several others, wrote an open letter to the committee that subsequently was signed by over 200 coastal residents. It was published in our local paper in October of 06, and it asked them not to have fireworks again in Walala. Our concerns about nest abandonment were ignored. In our small, unincorporated coastal community, we have very little government. We have a sewer district, and we have an advisory committee to the Mendocino County Board of Supervisors. Into that vacuum has stepped the festivals committee. They provided some activities that are quite fun for our community, but they have been unwilling to face the fact that the fireworks have done harm because of the explosions and the flashing lights. There's quite a group of people that drove down from the Mendanoma coast, if they could raise their hands, that are against the fireworks. There is a fireworks display held every year in Point Arena. We support those fireworks. We have turned to other agencies to help, but up to this point, they've been unable to help us. Our nesting seabirds deserve better. We ask your help. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Frank Drouillard?
My name is Frank Gillard, and thanks for giving us all an opportunity to speak about this today.
3 minutes.
My wife and I live and work here in the Bay Area, but we go to relax along the Mendenoma Coast, Anchor Bay in particular. That's 3.3 miles away from the fireworks launch site. And just to qualify what that sounds like, we live about 400 feet, or our place is about 400 feet above the sea level, 3.3 miles away from the discharge site. It sounds like a shotgun blast. Granted, the 2007 fireworks were not quite as loud as the 2006, but it did disrupt not just birds on Gualala Point Island. We have another big island off of Anchor Bay that's full of barking sea lions. You don't hear them barking after we have the fireworks. Again, I'm offering this just so you have a sense of what the loudness would be like when you're only 1.1 miles away from the discharge site like they are on Gualala Point Island. And I wanted to state that I agree with staff that this should require a CDP for this activity. That's the only way to ensure that this activity will be properly mitigated and we won't do damage to our valuable resources up and down the coast. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Jerry McChesney again. 3 minutes.
Hi, I'm Jerry McChesney with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. I just wanted to briefly explain my involvement in this. I was asked by the BLM this past spring to provide technical expertise. I'm a wildlife biologist with Fish and Wildlife Service. My expertise is in seabirds. I manage a seabird monitoring and restoration project that's done along the Central California coast, studying mainly common murres and Brandt's cormorants, as well as other species. And we have an MOU with the BLM that essentially states that we will assist them, you know, when they need technical expertise and things like that in things like this with managing the monument, that we will provide assistance. And so they asked me to help them develop their protocols and to help assess the data that was brought in, which is what I have done. And just to make a comment on Mr. Saya's comments, he's absolutely right that the preliminary report that was done by BLM did have quite a few errors in it, and mainly that was before I had a chance to really go through the data tooth and nail and give my own assessment. And after I had finally had a chance to do that, we did change some numbers in the report and a little bit of the interpretation, but, you know, overall, I'd say the interpretation is the same. There was quite a bit of nest abandonment that happened immediately after the fireworks display within just a couple of days. And from my own experience studying Brandt's cormorants over the years, it's really unusual to see that kind of high rate of nest abandonment over such a short period of time. They usually only abandon nests that rapidly due to some kind of a, you know, predation or kind of some kind of a disturbance event, at least in my experience studying them over the last 20 years. And so there does at least seem to be some kind of a strong association, I would say, with the fireworks display and the nest abandonment. And if you compare what happened at Gualala Point Island to the three colonies that we monitor in Central California this year, we had only, you know, upwards of about maybe 10% at the most nest abandonment over the entire nesting season at the colonies that we followed this year. So the Gualala Point Island colony definitely had much higher rates of abandonment than our colonies did. So just wanted to describe that.
Thank you, sir, and thank you for coming today. Okay, and that's the last speaker. Sir. Commissioner Riley?
Well, Mr. Chairman, if before Commissioner Riley, just some closing comments from staff. We did indicate to the festival committee that we considered this development and that a coastal permit was required. However, because of the timing and the shortness of our ability to respond and the desire to get additional information, we did not pursue a cease and desist order this current year. However, to reiterate, a permit is required. It is development. So we do expect the festival committee to come in, and that the standard that we look at is not only the standard in the Coastal Act, the policies, but also the precautionary principle that applies and that is incorporated into the Coastal Act. So I would ask the Festival Committee to keep that in mind as we meet with them to discuss a permit.
Thank you, Director Douglas. Commissioner Riley?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I also had an opportunity to talk with Rich Burns, who's heads up the BLM up there in that area, and he had indicated to me that while the study was preliminary and hadn't been finalized, that it definitely did show disturbance of birds related to and associated with that fireworks event. So I think that we've made the determination last year that this does require a permit. The fireworks committee didn't respond to that last year. I think I would support staff's following up with that. And I think we have sufficient preliminary information to know that we've got a problem here. And certainly we want to refine that information over time. But for the steps that Mr. Merrill outlined in terms of informing them that staff are likely to support exactly the way they did it in the last 2 years and are willing to work with them and to set a deadline for response. And if we don't get response, then to have the option of looking at enforcement activities. I think it's the proper way to approach this thing and see if we can't work it out with the folks up there in a way that allows them to have a celebration and also protects the birds.
I think that's an excellent way. Very good suggestion, Commissioner Riley. Commissioner Wan?
Yes, I'm in agreement with Commissioner Riley about how to go about this, that I'm supportive of staff and their approach. I would like to point out that seabirds, birds in general and seabirds in particular, are struggling. In the last 40 years, there's been an overall 70% decline in bird populations in the United States, 70%, with some species as high as 90%. When you see this kind of impact to nesting birds and their nests, it affects their populations. As Mr. Douglas said, we have to take precaution, and it's very important that we do whatever we can to make sure that we minimize the effects on these birds and on their populations. We can't afford to lose too many of our bird species.
Mr. Chair, just a quick last comment. When I was talking to Rich Burns, he had indicated BLM really didn't have separate resources for this kind of study, and it really, their ability to conduct the study really depended on volunteers coming forward out of Sea Ranch and out of Wallala and out of Point Arena, and that only with the assistance of those volunteers were they able to do it. So people really care about these issues mm-hmm. up there.
Thank you, Commissioner Riley. Commissioner Blank.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I'd like to thank everybody for getting involved on all sides of the issue and taking the time to drive down here to share this information with us. I just have a question for the fireworks committee. Is there someone just come up and I just want to ask?
No, fireworks. Mr. Waterman or? Yeah.
Mr. Waterman? Is that
Marshall Saya?
I'm just curious. Had you heard all the information we heard today?
Have I heard?
Yes.
This is the first time I've seen this presentation, although I saw a slightly different one at the BLM Regional Council meeting, which, by the way, BLM refused to write a letter supporting it because there was not enough information and they were concerned about the skewed results from a biased report.
And had you heard the Fish and Wildlife data before?
Mr. McKenzie's?
Isn't that? Yes.
No, we have not seen the latest revisions at all. In fact, we've had a real hard time getting any kind of transparency or open process. We have had to hire our own scientist, who I can tell you has gone through with just as much of a fine-tooth comb, and that was the reason I made my statement. If it had shown that we had harassed a bird, Madam Wan, we would stop. But the fact is, we don't believe it has.
And was any of the evidence or data rather than evidence presented today change your opinion in any way about?
Not at the moment. The report is still preliminary. We haven't had a chance to review the updated one. There's been a real lack of communication from the Sea Ranch Association and the task force. We haven't been able to provide the input on the report in order to be able to help mold it based on the information that we have. As an example, the Brant Cormorant is not listed on the endangered species list. It's not on the red list. It is a bird of least concern, and it's being represented that it's a bird of, on the endangered species list. It is not.
And just one or two last questions. And if the data, when you do get it, does show that these birds are being disturbed, would the committee find some alternate to the fireworks display?
Well, there's no law against disturbance of a bird. There is a law against a harassment. And I would say to you that if you're going to stop things that harass, then we're going to have to stop building. We're going to have to stop virtually all activities that are occurring that disturb the birds.
Got it. And my last question is, you heard Commissioner Rowley's and Commissioner Wan's suggested process. And if you get a letter from the Coastal Commission asking you to stop, tell us what you would do.
Well, we did receive the letter from Mr. Merrill. And what is being left out of this process is that we did hire an attorney, and we went through and we replied to it and provided this commission with about an inch and a half reply to every single point in the original letter. So I would suggest that if we get yet another similar letter, that will go to now we have two attorneys. We will turn it over to them and let them reply to Mr. Merrill's concerns.
Great. Thank you. This is very helpful. I appreciate
Thank you
coming.
Thank you for your attention.
Commissioner Rowley, do you want to add anything more? Commissioner Wan?
Some of the comments I just have to respond to. Sorry. Particularly things like, well, Brants aren't a listed species. This commission doesn't, the Coastal Act doesn't deal with just listed species. Eshet and coastal protection is for all species. Whether they're listed or not, those Brants cormorants still count. And as Mr. Douglas said, we take a precautionary approach. So the fact that they're unlisted doesn't mean that you have the right to do this to them. As far as no law that says you can't disturb them, yes, there is a law. It's called the Coastal Act.
Thank you, Commissioner Wan. Commissioner Schallenberger.
Question of staff, which I think I should know the answer to, but I don't. If it turns out that the final study shows that there is disturbance, and if we send a letter saying, you know, you need, we have already told them they have to come in for a permit. Do we have to wait until they actually set off the fireworks before we can do a cease and desist, or can you do a cease and desist based on clear intention of violating the act?
We can, and we would. We don't have to wait, and we don't intend to.
Okay, thank you.
So that's why our letter is going to ask for a response, and if we don't get it, it's our intent to take enforcement action.
Thank you.
I think that's it for on this report, and I think we got excellent direction from Commissioner Rowley, and I think that's the way the whole commission wants to proceed. So, okay. With that, we'll move on to the Mr. Merrill, the consent calendar, item 5. There's one item, I think, 8A. Is that correct?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Do you need to comment on that?
I'll just indicate that we're aware of no opposition to this application. We recommend that upon the close of the hearing that you approve the application as part of the consent calendar.
Mr. Chairman, I move approval of the consent calendar.
Moved by Vice Chair Neely, seconded by Commissioner Akajian. Both the maker and seconder are asking for a yes vote. Is there any objection to a unanimous yes roll call vote on this? Hearing none, the commission unanimously approves the consent calendar. And we'll move to item 6A, Fort Bragg.
Item 6A is the Fort Bragg LCP amendment, number 1-06, which involves a comprehensive update of the city's certified local coastal program. As I mentioned, there is an addendum that you should have in front of you, and then there's also the book packets of the exhibits, which contain the suggested modifications and other exhibits that are on the tables that if you want to refer to, there's not one for everyone, but if you could please share. There's also one letter in the green addendum submitted by a realtor in the Fort Bragg area. I'll note at the outset that The mayor of the city of Fort Bragg and city manager Linda Roofing are here to present testimony to you today. And the city is requesting that the commission open and hear testimony and continue the matter to the January meeting to allow more time for city review of the staff report and suggested modifications and continued discussion with our staff. We do support this request, but we recommend that you open the hearing, take testimony, provide comments as appropriate on what you've seen to date so that we can incorporate that into our next staff report. We have met by conference call several times since publication of the report with Ms. Roofing and Community Development Director Marie Jones, and have had very productive discussions that have led to many refinements of the proposed policy language, which is reflected in the addendum. There still are a few issues, which we will highlight later in the presentation, where we still have some differences, but we're hopeful that with additional consultation with the city, we may be able to resolve those. I would also like to express our sincere appreciation to the city and especially to Ms. Roofing and Marie Jones, the planning director, for their extremely dedicated work on the LCP and their tremendous help to us in the review of the amendment. Over the course of the last several months, we've met numerous times to discuss the amendment and our concerns, and Linda and Marie have been of great assistance to us in understanding the intent and working collaboratively to address the concerns. I also wish to publicly recognize the tremendous work performed by our staff analyst, Tiffany Tauber, who is sitting next to me in reviewing and analyzing the LCP update. Tiffany has spent literally hundreds of hours working on this amendment, and we greatly appreciate her tireless and professional efforts. And so with that, I'd like to turn the microphone over to Ms. Tauber, who will present the body of the presentation.
Let me ask a question, Mr. Merrill. If we're going to continue it, you know, open continue, why would we do a staff presentation and then hear from the city and just continue it, if not just act on it today? I think the commission, depends what my colleagues want to do, but the preference of the chair is that if we're going to go through that, let's not go through it twice. Let's have the staff presentation and in January and go through the speakers and everything else, and let's... anyone feels differently, I think.
Mr. Chair, I would tend to agree. I don't know if there are, not the city representatives, but citizen members here who would be more challenged to be able to make a January meeting down south on this issue.
Commissioner Riley, that's a good point. There's only two speaker slips, and they're both from the city of Fort Bragg.
Well, then my suggestion is that we give staff and the city another month to resolve the remaining differences and see if they can't come together with a recommendation for next month.
Excellent idea. Vice Chair Neely?
Mr. Chairman, I move continuance.
Second.
Moved by Vice Chair Neely and seconded by Commissioner Riley. Is there any objection to unanimous? Yes, roll call vote on that. Hearing none, the commission unanimously approves the continuance.
Excuse me, I didn't hear everything. Are you going to let anybody speak on this item?
No.
Nobody signed up?
No. Just, okay. Just only the city.
Okay.
Okay. Fine.
Sorry. I just wanted to make sure. Okay, Commissioner Potter. I'm paying.
Focus.
I'll work on it. That's my New Year's resolution.
Okay. 7A under the appeals.
Yes, item... Item 7A is an appeal by Commissioners Schallenberger and Juan from a decision of Mendocino County granting a permit with conditions to the Wallala Community Services District to extend a 6-inch diameter wastewater main approximately 1.25 miles along Old Stage Road along the eastern edge of the coastal zone. The elementary school that the line would serve was also approved at the county at the same time and was also appealed to the commission under a separate action. The applicant for the school coastal development permit, Arena Union Elementary School, has submitted a 49-day waiver, and so that item has been postponed, but the two are related. The sewer line and the approved school site are located within the Gualala Community Services District boundary, but outside of the current service area of the district and on the rural side of the urban-rural boundary designated in the certified land use plan. The two contentions raised by the appeal allege the project's inconsistent with the policies of the Mendocino LCP regarding concentration of new development within the urban side of the urban-rural boundary where it can be served by community water and sewer systems, and secondly, with the protection of lower-cost visitor-serving and recreational facilities. We're recommending that the Commission find the contentions raise a substantial issue of conformance with the certified LCP for the reasons discussed in the staff report. We further recommend that the Commission continue the de novo portion of the hearing to allow the applicants time to submit the information we've detailed in the staff report and prepare a recommendation for you. So with that, we'd ask if the Commission is interested in taking testimony, and if so, I would have a more complete presentation.
Okay, first of all, are there any ex parties on this, starting on my left, moving around? No ex parties? Do three or more commissioners object to finding substantial issue? Hearing none, the commission finds substantial issue.
Item 7B was postponed, and so that brings us to item 7C, which is an appeal by Commissioners Kruer and Juan from a decision of Mendocino County granting a permit to William and Marcia McConnell for construction of a 1,336-square-foot single-family residence with a 305-square-foot detached garage and decks and driveway at their property located in the Irish Beach subdivision on the south side of Navarro Way. The parcel is a blufftop or a bluff parcel that faces the ocean. The green addendum contains four letters, including one from the applicant's architect, a letter from a neighbor in the Irish Beach community in support of the project, and two letters from the applicant's attorney. The letters from the applicant's attorney asked for certain documents as part of a Public Records Act request, which we mailed and faxed yesterday. The letter also challenges the process by which the commissioner appeals are filed. And I would just note that the Coastal Act clearly provides for appeals by two or more commissioners, and that the appeal was filed by the two commissioners and received in a timely manner on November 6. I personally spoke with the commissioners involved, and they agreed to sign the appeal, and the appeal was filed later that day. I'll also note that Section 13032 of the Commission's regulations specifically authorizes the staff to administer the affairs of the Commission. In the case of this appeal, Commissioners Kruer and Juan provided approval to the Commission staff to file the appeal on their behalf by signing the appeal forms, and as such are not required to provide further authorization, as Section 13032 establishes the authority of the staff to administer the affairs of the Commission, including the filing of appeals. The three contentions raised allege that the project's inconsistent with LCP policies regarding protection of environmentally sensitive habitat area, and specifically Point Arena Mountain Beaver habitat, geologic hazards concerning developing a house inland of the bluff edge, and concerns about minimizing grading, erosion, and runoff. We recommend that the Commission find that all three contentions raise a substantial issue, and with that, I will close my remarks, but if more than three commissioners wish to hear it, I will present additional comments if you like.
Any ex parties, starting on my left? Hearing none, do three or more commissioners object to finding substantial issue? Hearing none, the commission has found substantial issue. Commissioner Juan?
Yes, I just would like to reiterate what Mr. Merrill said, and that is that he did contact me, he did discuss it with me, and I was fully aware of this and gave my permission for the appeal.
Yes, and Mr. Chairman, for the record, you have yourself gone on record to explain the appeals process. We have done this any number of times, explaining how it works, and the procedure we followed here is exactly the same procedure we follow in other appeals matters. Getting the authorization of individual commissioners prior to the use of your signed appeals forms.
I agree with that, and it was properly done. Okay. And with that, before we adjourn, yes, Commissioner Schellenberg.
I'm sorry. I just want to set the record straight. I said something that was inaccurate earlier, and I wouldn't want anybody in this room or out there listening. I was wrong about the 10% cut. It's the exercise that's being gone, is that the governor's direction is exercise on a 10% cut, but it's for next year's budget, so that they will not have to take the those cuts this year, and I thought it was important. It's my mistake. I misunderstood, and I don't want anybody out there in a unreasonable panic about additional cuts for this year.
Well, with that better news,
yeah.
I'd just like to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and Happy Holiday, and to all the commissioners and the staff especially for all your hard work, and really appreciate it. Have a good travels and nice holiday. Okay.
See you next year.
See.
I assume there are no public comments today.